Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry about that. Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. I got disconnected from my phone. But thanks for listening to the show. And we're going to get started with the BIBLE by Go Fish.
The BIBLE, that's the book for me. The BIBLE, that's the book for me.
Father's side, coming.
I believe in Jesus Christ, and I would say I have never believed in Jesus Christ as much as I have since I'm a Baha'i.
Oliver says he believes in Jesus Christ, yet he isn't a Christian. How can this be? The problem is that our friend Oliver has a different Jesus. He's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. It's kind of like this. If a stranger approaches you and says they know your buddy John, but all their facts about John are wrong, you could safely conclude that they're referring to a different John. Now, with that in mind, there are many religions that claim they know and believe in Jesus. But that doesn't mean they're referring to the same Jesus of the Bible. For example, Mormonism believes that Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. That's not in the Bible either. Muslims believe Jesus was just a prophet. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. And Baha'i teaches Jesus was simply a messenger. Notice how none of these religions teach what the Bible says, that Jesus was God in human flesh. You see, the real Jesus sparked more controversy than any other religious leader in history. He made radical claims. He spoke not from, but with authority. And with that same authority, he forgave people of their sins. He healed without medicine. He fed thousands from one boy's lunch. And he calmed the raging sea. His claims? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but through him. He claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the resurrection and the life. and he was ultimately crucified because he claimed to be God. He was able to conquer death by rising from the grave, just as he said he would. How is that? Because he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God incarnate. So, if someone comes to you talking about Jesus, but he doesn't sound like he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible, it's probably because he isn't.
I saw, I opened up the door. says here in Luke 10, 16, he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me.
Whoa.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah.
Yeah. I had no idea about this either, yo. Believe me, I had to suffer just to keep with the truth, but it's okay. Whatever. I give my life over to God. That's a big move. For real.
That was Avia Cohen singing Hooked on the Truth. And if you want to find out more about him, go to hookedonthetruth.com, hookedonthetruth.com. And you can meet Melissa Cantrola on Trippy Toll Radio. And if you want to find out about Trippy Toll Radio more, go to truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And my personal website is smilesandstuff.com, smilesandstuff.com. And that's more about me. Also, on the Trippy Toll Radio website, too. And we're going to do next, go play a song. This is one from Shylin. And this one is called Expository Teaching on Trippy Toll Radio.
Soli Deo Gloria. Yeah. Once again. It's the church, man. Called and collected. There's a lot of confusion about what makes up a healthy church. So we're going to look at the first mark. Because without this one, you're in bad shape. Let's do it.
Yeah. With our raps, we adore our Master and Lord, Jesus Christ, who deserves all our claps and applause for the wrath that he bore at the cross for our blasphemous thoughts and the classless acts of a whore. He gave up his life with the passionate roar, was raised up to heights where he sat at before. After this all, he gave pastors the call to ministry found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. What I first want to do is come to you, the church, to reverse the funny view. So let me ask a question. What's most essential? What is it that gives the local church's credentials? Some would say music, some would say deacons, others say reaching the lost and soul seeking. But if we want to give God the glory in our meetings, the most important thing is expository preaching. Where are the witnesses? Where are the Spurgeons? Preach the word.
Come on.
Preach the word. We need sound theology to deal with reality.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
We got enough rappers, we need more pastors.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
We need explanation and deep application.
Preach the word.
We gotta
preach the word.
This verse right here is for the congregation. This is what y'all need to be listening for.
Yeah, let me explain what I mean. It's not too complex.
Uh-uh.
It's preaching God's word in its proper context. As you listen, be discerning. But you have to determine what's the point of the passage, the point of the sermon. If not, this problem must be confronted today, because he just used the Bible to say what he wanted to say.
What?
And even if it's delivered with fire and intelligence, that's basically making what God has inspired irrelevant. Instead of applying the word's reality, a lot of pastors relying on personality, but gifts of communication can never be a true replacement for the Holy Spirit's illumination. Without exposition, you'll lack major profit. All you'll get is tradition and your pastor's favorite topics, and that can be a slippery slope. The word should be giving you hope. This dude is just giving you jokes.
Come on.
That won't help you love Christ. It won't help their obedience. We need more expositors, not more comedians.
Right.
With shepherds who labor in the text and faithfully connect you to the Savior, then wait for its effect. God gives the increase. Holiness, love, unity. The word faithfully preached builds up the whole community. If not, your Sunday meal will not last, and you'll have to supplement it with the podcast.
Yeah.
Don't entertain us. That won't sustain us.
Preach the word.
Come on.
Preach the word.
Careful instruction, not a big production.
Preach the word.
The word.
Preach the word.
We don't need theatrics and mansion attacks.
Preach the word. Preach the word.
We're on the brink of eternity. Please speak earnestly.
Preach the word.
You gotta
preach the word.
This verse right here is for the pastors. I just want to encourage y'all, man.
Yeah.
Y'all should be mindful of this devout thesis. All of the Bible is about Jesus. The Old Testament, Jesus Christ concealed. The New Testament, Jesus Christ revealed. This truth of the Lord Christ boldly conveyed this in Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus. The law, the prophets, and the teachings of apostles. All of these point back to Jesus in the gospel. But if the work of Christ is what the word is about, ultimately that should be what the sermon's about. Forget applause, you got to let the cross rock ya. All roads in the Bible lead to Golgotha. Whatever the text, faithfulness demands that we should hear the echoes of nails hit in his hands. Don't try to be original, say the old story, and watch your people change as they behold glory.
The glory of Jesus, we need to see it.
Preach the word, come on, preach the word.
Make Christ the center so new life can enter.
Preach the word, we gotta preach the word.
Give us the whole counsel along with the gospel.
Preach the word, preach the word.
This is your duty, show us God's beauty.
Preach the word,
we gotta
preach the word.
Yeah, so that's it, man. That's the charge. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, he charges him to preach the word. And yo, there's a lot of good resources out there, you know what I'm saying? Spirit Empowered Preaching by my man Art Azurdia. Christ-Centered Preaching by Brian Chappell. The Supremacy of God in Preaching by John Piper. Get these resources, man. More than anything, dig into the Word of God. Meditate on it and give it to your people. Grace and peace. Yeah.
Welcome to the One Minute Apologist. We interview the world's leading apologists to provide credible answers to curious questions.
Many people have said that some of our founders here in America were deists. This begs the question, what is deism?
Deism is backslidden theism. It's a theism minus God. It's theists who believe that God made the world but doesn't monkey with it. You know, he's the remote God. He's the absentee God. He just... His hands are tied by the creation he made. Thomas Jefferson was a deist. He cut all the miracles out of the Bible and posted the rest in a book called the Jefferson Bible. It ends, and they put Jesus in the sepulcher and rolled a stone, period. He didn't believe in the resurrection. Thomas Paine was also a deist. Voltaire, the famous French skeptic, was a deist as well. Deism was once the main philosophy behind liberalism. Most of them are now panentheists, but they were once deists.
Nice guy. You think you're nice? This guy is really nice.
Well, I try to do what's right.
He's so nice that if good people get to heaven, he'll be the first in line.
Ah, shucks.
So, Mr. Nice Guy, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Pretty much.
Do you mind if we take a look at them and maybe see how nice you really are?
Okay.
Great. Here's one. You shall not lie. Mr. Nice Guy, have you ever told a lie?
Well, yeah. Who hasn't?
What do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
All right. How about another commandment? You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen anything, even once?
Nope.
But you just told me you're a liar.
Well, I did steal some candy once when I was a kid.
And what do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
All right. Let's try another one. You shall not commit adultery.
Oh, that's easy. I'd never cheat on my wife.
Hi, handsome.
Oh, baby!
Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Oh, right.
One more. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name to curse?
Oh, my.
That, Mr. Nice Guy, is called blasphemy. God gave you life and breath and everything you have, and you've dragged his name through the dirt. So, by your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And that's just four of the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so I'm not perfect.
Well, actually, it's worse than that. Suppose we could put a chip in your brain that would record all your private thoughts for an entire week, and then play those thoughts on a giant movie screen for all your friends and family to see.
That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. The Bible says God knows everything, even the secret thoughts of your heart.
Well, compared to some people, I'm a saint.
Yeah, that's true. But the standard is God's law, not other people. Besides, even if you sin just five times a day, in 1 year, that's 1,825 sins. And if you live to be 70 years old, you'll have broken God's law over 127,000 times. You'll have to answer for every sin on Judgment Day, when the Bible says each of us will give an account of himself to God.
But God will forgive me, right?
Well, let's try that in court.
Hey, look, I know I keep breaking the law, but hey, catch up. Well, you know, just let it slide.
Only a corrupt judge would buy that. A good judge would say,
justice demands that you pay for your crimes.
God's not a corrupt judge. He's a holy, righteous judge. He hates sin. Jesus warned that on Judgment Day, everyone who had sinned against God would justly end up in a terrible place called hell. And there will be no escape for all eternity.
Well, then, how can anybody get to heaven?
There's only one way. God loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life. He never sinned, not even once. Then, Jesus offered to take the punishment for guilty sinners. He was whipped and beaten and nailed to a cross and died so that justice would be served and sinners could go free. Then, Jesus rose from the grave and defeated death. You can't earn eternal life. It's God's gift to everyone who will humble themselves and come to Jesus. He'll forgive you, wash you clean, and give you a new heart with new desires. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So stop living for yourself. Turn from your sin and come to Jesus. Then read your Bible and obey it. Find a good church to help you grow. And then go out and tell other people the good news.
Each week, we send out a free ministry update, and it contains a short video clip. Ray finds colorful characters, he witnesses to them, and then I chalk talk the clip. Here's some samples.
Do you believe in God?
Of course.
I believe God actually learns through us.
There's a heaven right here.
Multiple times a day, God hugs me.
What planet are you living on?
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am.
After seeing new clips each week and understanding the biblical principles behind them, you will end up saying, I could do that. There's no charge for the update. Just go here and sign up here, and we'll send it to you every week.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Also, while you're there, check out the School of Biblical Evangelism.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
That was audio version of a good person test that's on YouTube. It's the video that's animated. So that's why I have a lot of good sound effects with that. And if you want to check that out again, you go to Living Waters. It's called Way of the Master, the YouTube channel, Way of the Master. And you can check that out again there. And they also got good things from a show called On the Box. They do every weekday, I think, and currently it's about at 11:30 Pacific time. And also, the person who's speaking is Casey Ono. That was Kurt Cameron, the one who used to be on Growing Pains. And he's been on other things since then, like movie Fireproof, Monumental, and he did the Left Behind series. Well, I think it was three movies. And some other ones, of course, you could look them up. Internet Movie Database, if you want. IMDb, Kurt Cameron. And thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. He also has a website, KurtCameron.com. And let's see. What we're going to do next is going to play another song for you. And this one's called Faithful God. And this is by Shiloh. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told Radio.
Who is like you?
That was Shiloh's song. And if you want to find out more about him, you can go to shiloh.com. It's spelled S-H-A-I and then L-I-N-N-E. But also another website that you can go check him out about him is his label, record label, which is called Lamp Mode, L-A-M-P-M-O-D-E, lampmode.com. Check them out, lampmode.com. And you're listening to me, Melissa Cantola, on Trippy Toll Radio. And what we're going to do next is to do a series of the YouTube clips from called the 1 Minute Apologist. And it's going to do the one that's it's eight parts, and it is talking about the objections to Christianity, like some of the main ones. And see if that's ready for you. Also, remember you could download all of our shows on iTunes for free. Look up Truth Be Told Radio, and you could do that there. And please share if you like. Also, if you have any suggestions, you could send us an email, thetruthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. Or if you just want to say something about the show, something you like or didn't like, just tell us there. And if you got maybe like you think you'd be a good guest, or you know someone be a good guest for a show to interview, please send us an email there. truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. And I'm going to get started with the 1 Minute Apologist. And here you go, part 108 here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist. If you had 1 minute to be able to unpack for the audience, what about those who've never heard about Jesus
to
Christ?
Give a defense.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist. My name is Bobby Conway. I am here with Alex McFarland, who's the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary. Good to be with you, Alex.
Good to be with you, man. Thanks.
Hey, I know you've written a book called The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity, and it's a real privilege for us to be able to talk with you through these. Your first objection is that people bring up is God is not real. I don't believe God exists. How can anybody know for sure? What would you say?
Well, I would say we believe that there is a God because he's revealed himself. God is a revelatory God. Revelation means disclosure. And I would say in four key ways God has shown us that he exists. And I like to teach four alphabet letters, CCSS, creation, conscience, scripture, Savior. These four things are best understood in terms of there being a God. I mean, if there's no God, then where did creation come from? How do you explain the phenomenon of human consciousness? What about the Bible, a book shown to be inspired by many compelling lines of evidence? And then Jesus, prophesied coming, miraculous life, rose from the grave. These four things, creation, conscience, scripture, Savior, best explained in terms of there being a God.
Alex, in your book, that you say people bring up, and they'll say that creation is a myth. What about evolution? Couldn't God have created us but used evolution to do it?
Well, yeah, there's kind of a twofold question. Did we evolve from a purely naturalistic material universe, or was there a God, and maybe did God use evolution? I would say this, in sharing the gospel with people, just a little tactical note here, if you lead off with a critique of evolution, sometimes that is counterproductive. Oftentimes, if people say, well, hey, you know, hasn't evolution disproven Christianity? I'd say, you know, that's a good question, and there are a lot of good things to talk about. First, let's talk about Jesus. So if you're trying to lead somebody to Christ, keep Jesus out front. and deal with evolution later. Because if you lead off with a critique of evolution, oftentimes people's minds shut. However, the question is, evolution, you know, are we the product of a mighty God or a muddy glob? You know, are we made in God's image or mud in God's absence? And I would say this, I do not believe in evolution for several reasons. Science has proven the universe had a beginning, and because the universe had a beginning, it hasn't existed forever. So every effect has to have had a cause. And the best cause for the universe and all of the resulting effects is a supernatural, timeless, immaterial, intelligent cause. In other words, God. I mean, think about this. If we evolved out of the primordial soup, time plus chance plus Darwin's warm little pond, quote unquote. I mean, something came from nothing. Something turned into something else. Chaos is the mother of order. Inanimate matter produced intelligence and consciousness, and then multiple centers of consciousness, because you and I are, we're both conscious, but yet we're different. Materialistic science has no accounting for that phenomenon. And so really the complex, well-ordered world, the universe, finely tuned for life to have existed, seems, again, best understood in terms of there being a God. As far as macroevolution, something coming from nothing, something turning into something else, we simply do not have evidence for that. Let me give you two things, and I know the title is The One-Minute Apologist, so I've kind of blown that out of the water. But you might classify science in a couple of ways. You could talk about operations, how things work, but origins, where things come from. Operations are testable, repeatable, observable. In other words, it's empirical. Empirical means you can touch it, you can quantify it, measure it, take its temperature. Origins, whatever you believe about origins, you really do believe by faith. Because the origin of the universe and the creation of life, I mean, we weren't there to observe it. We can't repeat it in the lab. So just know this, a person can believe in materialistic, naturalistic, godless evolution, but it is a faith position. Question is, which faith position really seems more in line with the known evidence? And I would say theism, in other words, the fact that there is a God, a creative God, an intelligent cause, seems more plausible in light of all that we know.
One-Minute Apologists, we're continuing in a series through Alex McFarland, the president of Southern Evangelical Seminary's book, 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity. We come to the third objection, and that objection is the fact that there are people who are skeptical that the Bible is authentic. How do you answer that statement?
With the Bible, there are basically three questions. Is it preserved? Has it been preserved? Is it divinely inspired? And then what does the content say to my life? So we've got three questions: preservation, and then inspiration, and then relevancy. And I would say, how do we know the Bible is authentic? Because we have many, many manuscripts, thousands of copies and copies of copies, and we can know what the original said. The copies are in agreement. And so while we don't have the original documents, I think that's maybe by design. We don't have Paul's letter to the Romans because, think about it, if we did, we would probably venerate that object. We'd say, oh, that's Paul's letter. It's got his mojo on it, you know. We don't have the original copies, but we do have all of the copies. And therefore, we have the original content. The Bible is authentic because the documents and the content have been preserved. Now, the question of is it divinely inspired, that's another question with another answer. But you can trust the Bible. It's been given by God, preserved through the ages, and it comes to us today in readable, understandable, intelligible form.
Welcome to the 1 minute apologist. If you had 1 minute to be able to unpack for the audience, what about those who've never heard about Jesus Christ? We've all heard the statement. The people out there who are skeptical of the Bible, they'll talk to us when we're trying to share our faith, and they'll say, what about all those Bible contradictions? That's another objection you deal with.
Sure. Let's talk about the Bible a little bit. And I want to be honest. Are there challenging passages? Yeah. I mean, there are some passages that are tough to understand. There are other passages that are very easy to understand. Biblical challenges, yes. But verified contradictions, absolutely not. And there have been many books written about the biblical challenges, some of the tough-to-get passages. But let's talk about the fact that the Bible is inspired and is accurate in all that it says. I'm going to give you a short answer and a long answer. Somebody says, why do you believe the Bible is accurate? In other words, what it says is true and is binding on all of us. It's absolutely accurate. Here's the short answer. Because Jesus said so, and he was raised from the grave. You say, what are you talking about? Verses like John 10:35, Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. Matthew 24:35, Christ said heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. The only guy who ever rose from the grave, he affirmed the authenticity of the Bible. And so till the critic's resume can trump Jesus' credentials, we really ought to go with Christ's assessment of the Bible. Somebody says the Bible's full of errors. I would say, okay, walk on water, conquer the grave, and then I will listen to you. But until the critic's resume can trump Jesus, we need to go with Jesus. The long answer, though, is the Bible has some attributes no other book has. An amazing unity, amazing indestructibility, amazing scientific accuracy, prophetical accuracy. The Bible predicts history in advance, and its prophecies have come true time and time again. Amazing worldwide influence, amazing life-changing power, amazing worldwide circulation. The testimony of Jesus and the external evidence of the Bible's prophetic and influential accuracy says that, hey, I better look at the content. And the content says you must be born again.
Welcome to the 1 minute apologist. If you had 1 minute to be able to unpack for the audience, what about those who've never heard about Jesus
to
Christ?
Give a defense.
So, what do you say to challenge this other objection that you talk about in your book, that Jesus was just a man?
Well, I would say this. Prophesied coming, virgin birth, sinless life, miraculous deeds, heal the sick, raise the dead, made the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the lame to walk, shouldered the sin debt of the world, laid his back to a beam of wood, conquered the grave under his own power. 3 days later, he's alive, the tomb is empty. That's not just a man. That's the Son of God.
Objection 6 that says Jesus is not the only way to heaven. That's what the skeptics will say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come on, is it true that he is the only way to heaven?
Well, some people will say, where do you Christians come off saying Christ is the only way to God? And we have to remind people that Christ, Jesus, said Jesus is the only way to heaven. I'll give you a couple of examples. And again, remember the Bible, a book shown to be trustworthy by many compelling lines of evidence. Therefore, we look at the content. Luke 13:3, if you don't repent, you'll perish. John 8:24, Christ said, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And so Christ coupled this exclusive claim with an exclusive, unparalleled level of confirmation, His own resurrection. So who He was, what He did, what He taught, and then what He did to verify His claims. He rose from the grave. Therefore, really, again, it behooves the critic to eclipse Jesus' credentials, which no critic can do. And therefore, we really should take him at his word that he claimed to be the one and only way of salvation, and he coupled that claim with a resurrection. Pretty impressive. It behooves us to consider the man and his message.
one-minute apologist, if you had 1 minute to be able to unpack for the audience, what about those who've never heard about Jesus Christ? A loving God wouldn't send people to hell. That's something you've identified that people say. How do you answer them?
Well, you know, the same Jesus who talks about heaven and God's love warns about the punishment for those who reject him. C.S. Lewis said this: if there were any doctrine that I would willingly remove from Christianity, it would be the doctrine of hell. But C.S. Lewis said it's not within my power to do that. It has the support of Scripture, the support of reason, the support of the church, and the support of our Lord's own words. But I think about this. Salvation is offered, but not forced. Salvation is offered, but not forced. And for those who reject Jesus Christ, the result of that rejection is separation from God, and that's hell. But I would ask you, Bobby, I mean, do we really want a world in which an Osama bin Laden is no different than a Mother Teresa? An Adolf Hitler is no different than a Billy Graham? For those who will come to Christ and be forgiven, there is new life and a home in heaven. But for those that reject God, God will not force you to go to heaven against your will. And after death, the Bible warns, and Christ took no joy in this. It said he was grieved. He was burdened. But for those that reject Christ and will not receive his love offer, the result after death is hell.
Objection number 8, people are basically good. How do you deal with people who say that?
Benjamin Franklin said, every time he meets somebody who says there's no such thing as sin and people are basically good, he hides his silverware. Really, I mean, all you need to do is look at the history of the world. Think about this, in the 20th century, 44 out of the 100 years of the 20th century were filled with war. If people were basically good, the world would look a lot different. The fact is, people can do good, but we've got a sin nature, a propensity, a bent toward doing the wrong. We know the right, but we do the wrong. And if we're honest with ourselves, we've all betrayed our conscience. We've told a lie. We're sinners. Sin is missing the mark. And each one of us, individually and as a human race corporately, we've known the right and done the wrong. We're culpable, we're guilty, we're sinful. Therefore, we need a Savior, a forgiver, and that's Jesus.
Make sure you pick up Alex McFarland's book, The 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity.
I'm on YouTube, and thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. What we're going to do next is we're going to play a song that is called All Consuming Fire on Truth Be Told Radio.
The glory of God not honored. The holiness of God not reverenced. The greatness of God not admired. The power of God not praised. The truth of God not sought. The wisdom of God not esteemed. The beauty of God not treasured. The goodness of God not savored. The faithfulness of God not trusted. The commandments of God not obeyed. The justice of God not respected. The wrath of God not feared. Of God not cherished, the presence of God not prized, the person of God not loved. That is sin. Thank you.
nature needs to be restored. He has holy reflexes towards the evil he abhors, and cats who don't respect him will receive his lethal sword. The mass prefers the pleasures that sin easily affords. Our blasphemous confessions are the reason we at war. We should be in awe, his sweetness should keep us floored. Sin's radical infection is the reason we get bored. Repeatedly we snore, he's frequently ignored. We explore evil lust, leaving us greedy for more. The master's recollection of our evil he records. We have zero protection because he is keeping score. It's bad for every section, there's no passing his inspection, cause we're lacking the perfection that we need to be secure. Everlasting dissection, the unbeliever's reward. Disaster for rejection of the truth, Jesus is Lord.
Again here on Trippy Total Radio, and thanks for listening. What we're going to do next is we're going to play a song from, this is from Bo Fish, and this is them singing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee on Trippy Total Radio.
Alright, Go Fish guys, I have the perfect part for you and all the kids to sing. Now I'm going to sing it, and you and the kids just sing it back to me. You ready? All right, here we go. Hey, you sing. Come on.
everybody.
Was a two for Go Fish, two for one. One show, two songs. That was Love Like This, and before that, it was Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And once again, you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And what I'm going to do next is play another song, and then later I'm going to do more from the 1 minute apologist. And that's I like that. We're going to play Go Fish again. This is the Vile Book on Truth Be Told Radio.
First and Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles, makes me want to sing into the Bible.
get your mom and pop, so do the Bible book, Bible book. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. We made it through the old, now let's move on to the new and see what we can find. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and Corinthians.
1 and 2.
Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians.
1 and 2.
1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Hebrew, James, 1 and 2 Peter, and John.
1, 2, 3. And don't forget to
do the Bible book.
That was the Bible book flop here on Truth Be Told Radio. And let's see. To get a page, play another one from the 1 minute apologist. Let's see if I have that ready yet. I guess I don't. I thought I uploaded, but I didn't. So what we'll do is play another song. This is from Shyland, and this is called Spurgeon on Truth Be Told Radio.
Changes. His ways are blameless for his own glory, and at different stages he raises up servants to make his name famous. I highlight one particular servant for the purpose of encouraging your worship to the Lord. Furthermore, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was born on the outskirts of London, 1834. His dad and his grandpa were both in the ministry. His mother was praying for his soul since his infancy. Naturally intelligent, rapidly developing, but lacking Jesus' fellowship, that would be irrelevant. The God of his mother unknown, though Christ was up in his home, the faith just wasn't his own. The Lord answered prayer when, at the age of 10, young Charles became convinced of the wages of sin. For the next 5 years, the Spirit brought conviction, terrors and affliction, aware of his condition. One Sunday morning, though the stormiest snow kept Charles from going in the church he'd normally go, randomly stepped into a church, heard the words, "Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." And though only heaven knows the name of the preacher, that's the day that Spurgeon became a believer. So merciful, always so purposeful. Those whom he draws find his call irreversible. Immediately after Spurgeon's conversion, obediently, he was earnest to serve him. The Lord poured his Spirit on Spurgeon abundantly. Anyone could see that he spoke with profundity, extraordinary giftedness seen, proclaiming God's mysteries at the age of 15 in a place called Water Beach, graced with the sort of speech that even made the old folks say, "This boy can preach." In fact, he was so crass that after the master of Baptist Church snatched him and asked him to pastor. At the time, he was 17 years old, on fire for the King who redeemed his soul. People flocked from everywhere. It was quite a scene. Called to a church in London at the age of 19. He was more than ready to his Lord. He was dedicated, even though he was never formally educated. If you would have scratched him, he would plead Bible. A rich prayer.
higher life was his means of survival. Amount that he read was truly mind-blowing. Steeped in the writings of dudes like John Owen. And by God's grace, he fed the sheep new manna. In London, met his wife. Her name was Susanna. Susanna, Susanna, Susanna. The grace of God stand to the side. The spirit exalting the lamb who has died. It can't be denied this man we describe was simply a tool in the hand of his God. To observe this servant extremely instructive. One word about Spurgeon is he was productive. Preach Jesus, no speakers. Loudly he shouted. Each week packed houses of crowds in the thousands. His sermons were published, 62 volumes. He worked almost like he just knew he would die soon. Made mad disciples, passed on his knowledge. Established a school to train pastors in college, sold out to the Lord Jehovah his portion. Also, he built two homes for the orphans, a monthly magazine, plus he wasn't too busy to write books, about 150, God's grace in Spurgeon, which manifests, but remember, the best man is a man at best. Yes, he struggled with depression, consistently sick kid, both he and Susanna, physically afflicted. He experienced as a servant of Jesus, the power of God made perfect in weakness. Later on comes complications, his stance for orthodoxy got him shunned by his denomination. But through all the hardships and all the controversy, he never stopped relying on the sovereign God of mercy. And when he had finished pressing towards the goal, he entered into heaven at the age of 57. His life is a case of God's grace effectively at work in sinners to leave a great legacy. The proof is many years later in your speakers. We're praising Jesus for raising up the Prince of Preachers. 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 Prince of Preachers.
Out to all my sisters pursuing biblical womanhood. Let's go.
You run it hard for the King.
I know that's right.
If Jesus did everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you gonna do?
Work it out.
You run it hard for the King.
I know that's right.
If Jesus did everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you gonna do?
Work it out.
Yeah, she's not the typical girl.
Nope.
16 years old and she said to the world, faith by her lifestyle demonstrated, cause the gospel penetrated and now she's regenerated. Her master is greater than fashions and flavors. She patterns her behavior after the Savior. Back in the days you would have seen her standing in a mirror. Yeah, her skin was clear but her vanity was clearer. Now she's in the scriptures and wants to be like Hannah and Sarah rather than Christina Aguilera. Worldly girls imitate Missy Elliott, but she wants to be like Elizabeth Elliott. Not flexing the body, see, she dresses with modesty. She's not perfect, she confesses sin honestly. That's a permanent shout, and by the grace of the Lord, yo, she's working it out.
You run it hard for the King.
I know that's right.
If Jesus did everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you gonna do?
Work it out.
You run it hard for the King.
I know that's right.
If Jesus did everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you gonna do?
Yeah, she's not your normal wife. She's 24 and Christ is the Lord of her life. Her walk is evidence that she trusts in God. And
still so good to be justified.
And no, she doesn't have a master's in the
That was Shining Against Again, the song called Work It Out. And you see me, Melissa Cantrell, on Truth Be Told Radio. And now we got the 1 Minute Apologist. And this is What Is Pantheism?
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist. 1 Minute Apologist. We interview the world's leading apologists to provide credible answers to curious questions.
We've talked about what panentheism is. What is pantheism?
Pantheism means God is all, and all is God. Mary Baker Eddy is the most famous American, and that Hinduism, many forms of Hinduism are forms of panentheism. Benedict Spinoza, the famous Jewish Dutch philosopher, was a pantheist. Plotinus in the 3rd century, he was a pantheist. Zen Buddhists are pantheists, all of them are different varieties of it, but ultimately, there's an ultimate, usually impersonal force, like in Star Wars is a good example. May the Force be with you. Prepare to meet the Force, you know. You merge with the Force when you die. So you have this ultimate impersonal force in most cases that you can tap into for power and magic, whether black or white magic, and ultimately you're going to merge with when you die.
I'm going to see a king, I'm on my way, foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
"Keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide."
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
"Farewell, see you inside."
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
"Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation."
He said,
"I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor."
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
"I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said,
you can let her in."
The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
"There's room for one more."
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. "Where'd you get it?" she asked. He said,
"Actually, it's mine."
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
"Long ago, laid aside my crown, became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around, but those who love me get to share my crown."
Your turn.
Long ago, laid aside his crown, became a mud kid, traveled to our town. They kicked him out, didn't want him
around. That's called Penelope Judd, and that's from his album called Stories. If you want to check out Shylin, you can go to shylin.com, S-H-A-I-L-I-N-E, that's L-I-N-N-E, or you can just go to hislampmode.com, that's the record label, record label, is called lampmode.com. Oh, that's the website. Lamp Mode is the name of the record label. But I didn't get all tongue tied. But that's the way signs it goes. On Tributory. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantola. And what we're going to do next is going to play one more song. And then I'm going to get into, I got a clip from Wretched TV Show. And thanks for listening. Tributory.
I have a Bible that I read. I know the truth and I believe. I go to church with my friends. I have a joy that never ends. Not because of anything I've done. There's a reason and it's the only one.
Thank you.
Through grace by faith. And that was saved by GoFish. And if you want to find out more about them, you can go to their website, which is GoFish Guys. That's G-U-I-S. GoFishGuys.com. And you're listening to me, Melissa Cantrella, on Truth Be Told Radio. And, of course, our website is TruthBeToldRadio.com. TruthBeToldRadio.com. And next, we're going to play a clip. This is from the Wretched Network. That's their YouTube page. And they got a TV show called Wretched and also one, a radio show called Wretched. So if you want to see them, go to wretched.tv. And that's their website. But this clip is called Joel Osteen Waffles. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told Radio.
You've got evangelicals who are so squishy, they can't even claim on national TV that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
Quote, Larry King, because we've had ministers on our program who said, you either believe in Christ or you don't. If you believe in Christ, you're going to heaven. And if you don't, no matter what you've done in your life, you ain't. I wonder what minister would ever say that on the Larry King program. Wasn't Deepak, I'll tell you that. Listen to the response of one of the biggest, grandest Christian so-called leaders in America. Yeah, I don't know. I still think he'd make a great weatherman someday, but his wife's really a better preacher, but anyway. So here it goes. Can we get some air conditioning in here? To Larry King, yeah, I don't know. There's probably a balance between, I believe you have to know Christ, but I think that if you know Christ, if you're a believer in God, that you're going to have some good works. I think it's a cop-out to say I'm a Christian, but I don't ever do anything. Well, that doesn't even answer the question. King, what if you're Jewish, as he is? What if you're a Muslim, and you don't accept Christ at all? Question mark. The answer. You know, I'm very careful about saying who would and who wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. King, if you believe you have to believe in Christ, they're wrong, aren't they? Referring to the Jews, referring to the Muslims. The answer. I'm just reading this, okay? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I spent a lot of time in India with my father. I don't know about all their religion, but I know they love God. No, they don't. They hate God. I don't know. I've seen their sincerity. So, on worldwide television, so, I don't know. Give us some men who know the truth. Yeah. Athanasius and Polycarp and Calvin and Luther and Whitfield and Edwards, and who will declare from the housetops that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
That is precisely what we need. And you don't actually have to be a pastor to do it. These days, more and more, we need Christians who are willing to proclaim from the housetops the gospel of Jesus Christ. Available at wretched.tv.
All right. Got it. Sweet. Drive-by church history.
All right, got it. All right, the big events of every century, 1 through 20. So you learn all the big names, the Luthers, the Augustines, or Augustines. When did the false teachers come in? You won't forget the big events. Seriously? Dude! One!
Hey.
One!
Hey.
You think it's last part is supposed to just go on, like, instead of getting the, buying the wretched, stuff that they sell, he just tries to get it for free. And he tricks them every time. It's supposed to be, like, it's funny, gaggly that going. So, what's the end? It's from Wretched, and like I said, it's at wretched.tv. You see their website. And the show is about over, so what we're going to do is we're going to go out as a kid. Sorry. we're going to go out as we came in. And that's what the VIVLE from GoFish. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told Radio. Bye for now.
VIVLE, that's the book for me. VIVLE, that's the book for me.
Book.